What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Alex Da Silva Podcast. We hope you are well and having an amazing day, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment on whatever platform you're listening. Now, let's get on with the show with your host, Alex Da Silva.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode. I'm so grateful, so glad to be here. Thank you for listening. Today, I have a very interesting guest, a gentleman called Bill Letson. Bill has had a near-death experience. And this is something for me that I'm really, really interested in finding out more and more. As many of you know, I love spirituality, breath work, you know, really connecting with, you know, a higher power. And as I've kind of come across Bill's story, it was phenomenal because the things that I started to experience through my own spiritual journey and healing, I discovered that when you had your near-death experience, there was so many similarities. So, Bill, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me, sir.
Good, good. I'm really glad that you're here, and I'm really looking forward to today, that's for sure. So talk to me, Bill. I always like to open up the floor to you. Let us know about your story, what happened to you, and, you know, take us through that sort of entire journey. Bring us into the story about your near-death experience.
Okay, be happy to. And, you know, you just said that you're having experiences yourself, and I'm getting a lot of contact from people, young people, mm-hmm. that are saying, you know, you've got some answers to what's happening to me. And so, you know, we get to talk, and that's what people like me are supposed to do. We're supposed to talk.
Yeah.
So you know, whenever something comes up that fits your experiences, your story, just cut me off, man. Interrupt, mm-hmm. because that's important to get validation.
Yeah.
And when your audience sees validation taking place, you know, in real time, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, that's yeah. cool.
Yeah. And I think this is so important, isn't it, Bill? And especially before you kick off, I think what people are going to be really, really intrigued, especially now where there seems to be so much chaos happening in the world, but within that chaos, there's so much light being shone on so many things, you know, and people use the terminology, you know, the great awakening and, you know, the light against the dark. And over the years, one of the things that I've learned, and, you know, I'd love to get your take on some of these things is, you know, we need the dark in order for it to be light. You know, there cannot be light without the dark. You know, it's everything that we are. It encompasses the creator, encompasses all of our experiences. And it's nice to be able to hear different stories of individuals such as yourself who have had these experiences and can really bring to light, you know, who we truly are, because I think that's what's happening right now. We're having to truly, truly connect and understand with our true essence. We're not just Bill and Alex, you know, just here floating around on Earth, you know, doing whatever we want to do. Like, it's a journey. This is a school. You know, there are so many incredible things that we can do. So I want to hand this over to you, because just the look on your face, I know you're gonna really enlighten us with, you know, with some incredible stories, and I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Okay, so I'm going to start with what you just said, because that is the big picture, and, you know, that yin and yang symbol, you know, where the light and dark is exchanged, you know, that to me, that fits this whole thing with this precession of equinox, the yugas, this great year, 24,000 year cycle. And according to, you know, the Hindus and the Mayans, that cycle bottomed out at 2012. Mm-hmm. And we're starting back up. It wasn't the end of the world. It was the beginning of a new type of human, a human that can handle the energy that is the light that is coming into the planet. Mm-hmm. And You're not wrong, and your listeners aren't wrong because yeah, it's truly happening. And I think there was some there was a point there that was going to tie it all together. But oh yeah, this period right now, if you look up the yugas and the precession of the equinox, the next 2,000 years is known as the Age of Heroes. And it's a 24,000 year cycle, and there's a golden age, which we're climbing back to, and a silver age and a bronze age and an iron age, kind of a dark, chaotic times that we're in now, but we're coming out of. And so this period right now, this Age of Heroes, this is the people that are looking towards this light that they can't look away from. And most of the world is not involved in that. It's a fraction of 1%. But you, obviously, by watching the passion in your face and stuff, you're for real. And the people that listen to podcasts like this, they're for real. They're not weirdos. It really is happening. And it's really cool.
I was just going to say, it really is. There's something quite scary about it, I think, for a lot of people, including myself. A few years ago, when I started going into this journey, it's the as I understood it, it's the not so much of a fight, but it's the understanding between the true essence of who we are, the creator, and the human fear and ego, which wants to separate us from everything that we truly are. And I guess the hardest thing about being a human being is that you have a physical body. You're a mind, body, spirit complex, and you have these feelings and emotions. And in this experience, they're very real. They are very real because, this is what we're here to learn these things. But at the same time, as we're going through this time now, as you're saying, we're leaving this really dark time. And as it starts to almost feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better, what I often try to say to people is, don't look at it as better or worse. Just look at it as a must, in order for us to wake up and to truly see our essence, to truly build, not just as individuals, but as a collective. We must go through these things because it ignites, the fire, I guess, for us to be able to work through the traumas, the healing, everything that we need to do in order to really embody who we are, right?
Yeah, that's true. And you said something pretty cool there, that this whole thing with emotions and feelings and our intentions, our expectations, this is the universe. Thought, it's a thought form world, thought form reality. And the human experience is like it's like an amusement park. It's like a game that we play in order to better hone those choices of feelings, the higher things like joy and compassion and kindness. And you also said, I hope we're not getting all screwed up here with this interview, but you also said that this human experience, that we are connected to the divine. And that's readily noticeable, that our right brain is connected to home. People, creative people, are right brain people. Well, if they're create they're connected to creation, to the creator, and that's all music and color and flow and sweetness and kindness. And then the left brain is the character that we're taking a ride in. This our temporary bodies, this the beast, as some people, some religions refer to it as. And what we're supposed to do is wake up in this life, and or whatever life, and realize that we are this divine being, and that we belong to this incredibly expanded realm, and that this is a school. This is, we're here for, you know, extreme experiences, and we're saddled with this, you know, low vibrational mind, you know, where it's all facts and figures and me, and, you know, and that's what we're into here. And it's cool.
Yeah, it really is. And I'd love to kind of understand, you know, the way you speak, and obviously you present yourself. You know, I can tell that, you know, I guess, and please educate me on this, you know, have you always been this way, or, you know, the way that you now look and see things, has this started since your near-death experience?
No, it the near-death experience was in 94, and I promise I'll talk about it. But that, and then, you know, I was a fireman, and I came back from that, and I told everybody. I said, oh man, there was these beings, and they were, it was nothing but joy, and, you know, we have no idea what we really are and what we're doing here. And, you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, that story got up to the chief's office, and word kind of leaked back down quietly, like, dude, stop talking like this, you sound like a lunatic, and we can't have lunatics, you know, on our fire engines. And I was like, yeah, I get it, that's cool. You know, I totally got it. And so I zipped it. And for 15 years, you know, people would come to me and ask me things because they had heard, but I stopped talking about it at the dinner table or something. And that was, everything was fine. And, you know, in 2010, I retired. And then this whole thing about what happened there came rushing back. And it wasn't my idea. It was some higher aspect of me that said, okay, now you got to face this. And so, yeah, I started hanging out in Central America with shamans and Native Americans, and, you know, started realizing they were a leftover from what we were in ancient times. How much we knew, how connected we were to our higher self. And we did realize that we were a temporary human being, and there was this other thing that was just, you know, not perceivable, that was so big about us. And, you know, and that led to, you know, the Egyptians and the Mayans and what they knew. And that's coming out, you know, the whole thing with Egypt. These things are now being revealed, and it'll be slow, and it'll be, you know, it's very controlled thing, and it's all in good hands. This is the, you know, the way it works. And slowly the audiences that watch things like this will grow, and the storylines will grow, and, you know, we'll work our way back to, you know, the Silver Age, and then that Golden Age, to where we're heavenly beings on Earth. You know, everybody's just radiating, and your aura is, everybody can see everybody, and, you know, and then that removes all the problems, you know, as far as criminal behavior, and because everybody can see everybody else, and you know their intentions, and, you know, and the mainstream, the mainstream idea is that we are these temporary beings, and we're walking hand in hand with our higher self for this bigger purpose of, you know, growing the soul. Yeah, that's my story. And no, I didn't start talking like this until I went to an IONS meeting in 2015. And I think in 2017, they said, you need to get up and speak, tell this story. And and I did. And that led to this, like, this world tour of, you know, conferences and stuff. And and then this, you know, COVID showed up a couple of years ago, and then these podcasts went crazy. And now this access to this information, you know, you don't have to go into a woo-woo meeting, you know. You can just look at it online and take your time with your understanding.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the inf- The information is out there and it's growing rapidly.
It really is. And I think this is the, you know, what's really powerful about this stuff is that there is no stopping it now. You know, you cannot stop this information from getting out. And you know, you touched on, you know, the you know, visiting the shamans and the tribes. I'd love to know more about that. I was born in Brazil, so you know, I didn't really discover that sort of route of mine until I was here. I spent a few decades of my life in addiction, and as I came into recovery, through that recovery journey, I found a 12-step program, and then as one thing leads to another, nothing, as I understand today, happens by accident. I met somebody who was doing shamanic work, and there was no debating, there was no procrastination, there was nothing. Something just called me to it, and I knew he was doing it. My wife and I both went over there, and straight away I was like, I want to do this, let's go. And you know, this was a few years ago now, and now I'm doing this stuff. You know, I'm doing breath work, I hold space in ceremonies, and you know, in starting to do that kind of healing work. And at first I never really understood it, because Bill, you speak to me 8 years ago about this kind of stuff, I tell you it's a load of rubbish. I'm like, this is tree hugging idiots. I want nothing to do with it. It's all hippies. Like, you know, now when you see it for yourself, it's on, you know, it's a different story. It's almost like you can't stop talking about it, because once you see what you see, you have to tell people about it, right?
Right. That's what we're supposed to do. And a few years ago, I had, I was getting more and more experiences, visions and things. It's been really powerful. Now it's just common every day. But I didn't really know what to do. And so I contacted Taita Juanito and did a Zoom with him in his casita in the Amazon.
Wow.
Dirt floor casita, and I said, well, I don't know what to do with this. And he said, you are supposed to talk. You're supposed to tell your story. That's what all of the people coming into the world right now, the souls coming into the world, they're supposed to share their story. However, one-on-one or a podcast or write it down. But that was helpful. And I said, okay, I get it. And I was never, I, you know, I can't speak. I couldn't. I was a fireman. That's as blue collar, redneck as you can get. And I couldn't speak in about the things I'm talking about now, about love and kindness and compassion and nurturing. And those were not words that I ever used. And everything, when I said yes, and everything changed, and the experiences just jumped up a huge notch, and it's like, okay, from the other side, it's like, okay, he's on board, so feed him. And that's kind of how it works. So no, I never talked like this, but it's real. And this is what we're supposed to be doing, if you're experiencing these things. And a lot of people are, and they're disappearing into addiction and mental health issues. That I had a woman from this mental health hospital call me, and she goes, "You're the only person I can talk to." And she says, I give this medication out to these people that are, in this facility." And she said 30% of them are having this awakening. They're having this Kundalini thing, and I'm medicating them. And she was trying to find some kind of peace with that. And I kind of told her, it might be that it's none of your business, that this is their path. And it sounds like you've done enough. You've written letters, and pounded the desks of administrators. And because she came from another country, she came from India, where this is common. people understand that, what we really are.
Yeah.
And
And this is
so.
the yeah, this is the powerful thing about what's happening right now, because I think because we've been consumed and so overloaded by a system that has been created to make us forget who we are, to believe that we're just this puny little human, and we're all here to, work until we retire. And if we're lucky, we might get 5, 10 years, maybe 20 if you're lucky, of retirement, and this is it, like life's over. And unfortunately for a lot of people, that's been their experience. I know my grandparents, their parents, and generations, probably not generations before, but this, especially that kind of that middle part, there's been a lot of people who, my parents, for example, they've just recently retired and they were exactly the same. My father was talking the other day. He was just feeling a bit down because he didn't know what to do after retirement. And I'm like, you've built yourself a business from the age of 17. You've done extremely well for yourself. And I've said this for years, like, go and travel the world, like, go and enjoy it, And I said, whatever inheritance you think you're going to leave me, go and spend it. Blow every penny. I want nothing of it. I want none of it. I'll make my own. Like, I'm good. Please do me a favor. Use that money. Go and travel the world. Because what I've realized, and I try to explain it to them, is that, like the clothes that you're wearing, like the clothes that I'm wearing, like the headphones in my ears, none of this stuff, you can take it with you. You don't own any of these things. You may purchase it as a consumer, but once these break, they'll go in a bin. Once you've worn your clothes enough, you either give it to charity or it goes in a bin. And this clothes, mind, body, spirit complex that you're wearing, it's exactly the same. And we put so much emphasis into, these phones and technology, and especially now, you've got to have, before, God, if you're a millionaire, you're set for life. Today, all these kids want to be billionaires and they want to do this, but none of them want to work for anything. Everybody just expects everything to, to come to them. And I think this is where a lot of people are struggling, because as I understand, the system that we live in has been rigged, that has been set up almost perfectly to keep us in line, to keep us in check, so that we work, we consume everything, and that, very small amount of people benefit from that financially as well as everything else. But obviously they're trying to tighten that belt, which is getting people's back up a little bit, but also the awakening's happening, because what people are starting to realize, and I'd love to get your take on this, is we live on a planet that is alive, is completely alive. No different from us. We are the planet, if you really kind of think about it. Everything about us is exactly what this planet is. And it provides animals, food, water, electricity, gas. Every single thing that you can think of is free. Yet we've been fooled into paying for every single one of these things. And I think what's happening now is this new generation are starting to see that, because they come here in a slightly different level than us, right? And they're starting to see it and kind of go, hang on, why am I slaving away for all this time when actually the earth is providing these things? And I think this is that pinnacle moment where things are going to shift. What are your thoughts? Have you kind of received that kind of information as well? What are your thoughts around this?
Yeah, the younger people are saying this is bull. This program that you guys are handing us down is baloney. And I don't want to work 8 hours, and have 2 days off. 8 hours a day and have 2 days off. And I hear it. I go to the vet, and the girls at the front desk are like, "Get me out of here! I can't wait to retire." I'm like, "You're 26 years old." So yeah, that's absolutely real. There's this mindset that I shouldn't have to be slaving away for nothing, and I have a life. I have a birthright to live this life and maybe discover what's really going on, who I really am. And yeah, I don't blame them at all. So
With your near-death experience, What was shown to you? What did you see? First of all, just so people can get a bit of an idea, because I'm sure some of the people are going, hang on, what happened to him? What actually happened to him? He's telling me all this incredible stuff, but how did he get there? So, tell us, how did it happen to you, and what did you experience 28 years ago? What was the actual sort of experience when you died and then you left your body? What happened?
Okay, so I was working as a fireman down in Santa Barbara. I drove a fire engine, Station 11, and we went to this patient, and it was a flu. Some call it the Beijing flu or something. Was 94, 90, 94, 95, 96, and so we were getting a good run of it, and the ERs were f full, the emergency rooms were full, and we were going on two, three, four patients a day that were overwhelmed by this very powerful flu. And we went to this woman's house, and the neighbor said, "She's in there, we know it." So we kicked the door in and found her in the back bedroom, and she was nearly gone. And we got her back, and in with doing all the things you do in emergency medicine, she exhaled into my face, and I took that breath in. And I was like, and all the guys in the room, all the other medics and stuff, they saw it, and they're like, "Oh, dude, that's not going to go well." And it didn't. We got her to the hospital, and she w recovered and came home. But a couple days later, I was circling the drain myself. My all kinds of things were wrong with my vital signs, and I ended up in an ambulance. And I ended up at the hospital, and they gave me a couple of liters of fluid because my issue was dehydration. It happened so fast, I didn't even realize it. And so I was feeling better, and I said, "I think I can go home. I think my wife got there and some guys got there." And I said, "I think I can go home and take it from here at home." And the nurse said, "No, you arrived by ambulance, you're not leaving." And it's like, okay. And so and the place was overwhelmed with patients. There was lots of kids there, and they took a priority. And so she came in, and she goes, "To hold you over, everyone's getting the same thing." And it was this mix of something for nausea and something for pain. And I kind of tried to I said, "I'll be fine, I'll just." And she goes, "Nope, doctor's orders." And she pushed it into the IV port thing, and it went right in. And my wife said, "Your eyes rolled back and you fell flat back on the bed." And she said, "It was almost like you were clowning around." And it's, she said, that scared the heck out of them. And so everything, all the bells and whistles went off, and they came in, and they Narcan'd you. They gave something to stop the pain relievers action. It was a synthetic morphine, and they put you in a head down, and they got more IVs going. And she said the highest blood pressure I heard was 40 over zero. And she started taking notes. She had all these notes. I'm like, wow, after it was all over. And she said, "Well, I knew something was, this was an unusual event. And so better document it." And so, yeah, they put me in a head down, and they shipped me off to intensive care. And I spent the night up there. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon when all this happened. And they put me up there, and I was up there for a day. And sometime during that night, couldn't tell you what time, but I was no longer Bill. I had left my body, and I was this huge expanded cloud, this huge expanded balloon or something of awareness flying through this star-filled realm. And there was all these stars, these orbs. There were all kinds of different colors, and they were just showering me with all these high vibrational emotions. This energy of acceptance and love and joy and welcoming and belonging. And I was just I was just moving through them like it was a welcome home thing. And I felt like I had been released from a hot, dark, stuffy closet that I, spent nearly 40 years in. And I was so relieved to be free of that. And it was just, there was this emotion of exuberance, just completely overwhelming joy and euphoria. And I've said this every time, it was like a cosmic orgasm. And it was just continuous. That was your ex that was who that's where we come from. Just this incredible joy and belonging and just this euphoric nature. And people think, oh, that would be boring or whatever. And it's there's no such thing as time. So every new moment is like this new, awesome, excited awareness of being in that new moment. And Louisa Peck said it best. She's like, oh, cool. Oh, cool. This is so cool. Oh, wow. This is so cool. And that is like your continuous feeling. Yeah, well, there's no there, there. We didn't have any. There was no memory of, bad things that happened in my life, and there was no anxiety about the future. Those things didn't exist, and they belonged to Bill, and I wasn't Bill. And one of the things that I said as I was flying along, I was like, "How in the world did I believe I was this dude? How did I forget who I really am? It was such an outstanding trick that I was completely immersed in this character, and I believed I was him, because I wasn't him. I wasn't Bill, and I wasn't, he's a great guy and all, but we all got these. We talked about it earlier. We've got this left brain, beast, and this personality that we picked up, this astrology driven, birth chart, that stuff's very real. And all that was gone. It was just such a relief. And so I'm flying along saying, awesome, I'm home and I could do this forever. And then all of a sudden I landed. I landed in a different realm. It was solid, had indirect lighting. There were tables and gurneys and equipment there. And right in front of me, there were these three short little hooded guys. And they were overjoyed to see me. They were bouncing around and bumping into each other. And they were asking me things like, well, how was it? What'd you learn? What can you tell us? And I was very confused, and I'm like, well, where am I? Where am I now? And they were giggling at at my confusion. And one of them came forward and looked me up and down, and he turned to the other two, just he was just pleased as punch, and he goes, he doesn't remember us. And they all started giggling, and they were giggling uproariously. And I didn't have any fear. I didn't feel, there was some confusion. I was trying to sort out, okay, well, where am I now? Everything's cool, but where am I? And who are these dudes? And so, yeah, there was no fear and there was no, nothing like that. And I was still completely stoked. And then there was this other guy, and he was in the background at first. And he kind of meandered forward, and he was this tall, I call him the tall, wispy guy, because he was like this spinning energy. And he looked like underneath all that spinning, and like a Gumby or a walking stick. He was just this really slender thing. And he was spinning like a vortex, like you take a glass of water and spin it, and then you watch that vortex. He looked exactly like that. And
Facial features, or was it just the energy?
He the energy was there, and then there was this big smiling face. He had
Okay.
bright eyes. He had bright eyes, and he had this huge, like, ecstatic smile. And when he came forward, it was like, okay, this guy's in charge, and he's obviously stoked to see me. He loves me like a father. And as he came closer, he, this spinning energy sort of engulfed me, and I felt my throat just tighten down, and my chest was like expanding, and I felt like I was going to burst into uncontrollable crying from love. There was so much love that was this being that it was crippling. I wanted to fall to my knees and cry, like a mother when she drops her 5-year-old off the first day of school, and she's just so proud of her, and that's what it was. It was this, and you hear this a lot from people that they were crying and sobbing, but I held it together, and he came closer, and he was just sort of doing his thing, and when he walked, the top part would move away, and then the bottom would kind of separate and then catch up. And just like one of those, a spinning vortex, they looked exactly like that, but with a smiling, ecstatic face. That makes any sense at all to anybody. But so there wasn't much going on. The guys were giggling and bouncing around, and he was just sort of chuckling. There was this communication going on, but it wasn't really like you were gathering your thoughts and saying something. It was, if you thought it, it was out there. It was just, and I think that's what we like about genuine, authentic people. They don't have a filter. That's why they're so endearing, because it reminds us of home. And where these thoughts are upon you, and they're genuine, honest. And so there was this back and forth thing going on. And every time I had something to say, the tall, wispy guy, he just chuckled. He just was chuckling. He was the most cheerful boss anybody could ever have. And so at one point I said, well, because I wanted to get back to where I was, that realm where it was there, nothing was impossible in that other realm. And you knew everything. This thing about the Akashic Records, all that information was available. When I was flying through that realm, all I saw was mostly math, but just formulas just pouring in, and you definitely couldn't bring it back, but you could hardly handle the amount of information that is available. And so, yeah, I wanted to get back in there because nothing was out of the question. No experience. We really are these amazing beings. And if things are really crappy here, they're crappy for a reason. And we're here to learn, but we all go back. And I think that's the most helpful thing I can say to people, that we all peel away from our bodies and we return, and depending on whatever your soul growth or something, it depends on where you go, but we're all returning to source, to that divine realm.
And
So
did you get a tour? Were you sort of having conversations? What was that sort of interaction like?
Yeah, it was all incredibly joyful and happy, and a lot of giggling and a lot of chuckling, and it was awesome. And so at one point I said, you guys, as I understand it, our life flashes before our eyes, or there's a review or something, and you guys want to get on with that. And everybody started giggling, and then the big guy was just He was chuckling up a storm. And then he finally said, Sure, let's do that. How do you want to start? And, you know, I tell people, you know, this whole thing, this was a show and tell. And I'm at the telling stage here 30 years later. And so, yeah, I was being shown these realms of what we really are. And I was being humored. And so that was just more of the humoring. And, but, you know, I was on my way back to being Bill, and that was a step down from where I was before. You know, your higher self, soul level, physical, you know, physical self. These are, we are these huge expanded beings. We go on forever. And so, yeah, I said that, and he chuckled, and so he said, "Yeah, go for it." And so I just started telling stories about, you know, when I was younger and things I wish I'd done for my wife. That, you know, she wanted to live on this island. I had a park ranger job. This island, she never asked for anything, but she wanted to do that. And I said, you know, if I could go back, I'd change that for her, because, but you know, we were in our 20s, and you know, firefighting was exciting. You know, you're in aviation and you're on the ground and all this stuff's going on. And sitting on an island staring out to sea, I thought might be a little boring after an hour. So yeah, I took another fire job. And but now at almost 70, you know, that island job sounds like a dream.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it looks very different now.
Yeah. So I talked for a while, and nobody was listening. They didn't care. They weren't interested in my stories. And I thought that was kind of funny. And then all of a sudden he just goes, "Okay, that's enough. Time to go back." And that just floored me. I'm like, "Dude, go back. I'm not going back there. You know, that place is gnarly." And it is, you know, if you're struggling, if your listeners are, some are struggling with a lot of major problems, this is a gnarly test. And like we talked before, you know, we bottomed out with the energy thing, you know, through the yugas and the precession, you know, that 24,000 year cycle. We're at the bottom, at the bottom of the bottom, and we're just coming out of it, but we're still at the bottom. And you know, those energies are powerful. You okay, dude? He has his moments. So yeah, he says, "Oh, you got to go back." You know, I tried and tried, and I told all these different things, like I was almost 40 and I'm, you know, I'm done for. I'm not really, I don't have much of a life left. And you know, I said that my friends, you know, they'll be all right, but my parents and my wife, you know, they'll be pretty sad for a while, but they'll come out of it, you know. And he thought that was funny. And
Trying to make every excuse possible not to leave.
yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, and you know, it never got, there was never any anger or anything, but you know, I did have my wish, and it wasn't to be, and that sort of settled in with me. And you know, because you don't have anger, and you know, you don't want to fight anybody. But yeah, I tried a couple times, like a young toddler soul. That's the way I put it to people. It was like a toddler that was told, "Okay, time to go to bed." And so he came forward and he goes, "No, man, you're going back, and you got things to do, and they're important. And so you're gonna go back and handle those things." And the whole room with that, you know, with his energy, with his change of his intention, the whole room just started breaking up for me and started dissolving and spinning away. And I dropped away. It was a frequency drop. And I dropped away into darkness, and I got down near my body. I definitely was still in this spiritual realm, this energetic existence, and I was near my body, and I was in a place that it didn't feel good. It was lonely, and it was dark, and it was dismal, and it was right next to where we are here in the physical. And yeah, and then I was back in my body, and I woke up sometime later. But that, you know, that there's that thing about that we have to walk through the valley of shadow of death. And I think that's kind of, we're on our own here to raise our vibration. And when we do leave our body, when we die, well, we've got to move through that, you know, that realm. And it's not impossible at all, but there's a lot of, you know, ghosts and consciousness that lost its way, low vibrational beings that are, they can't affect you if your vibration's, you know, high. You just move by them. It's like walking through gnats, you know, on a summer day. But if you react to them, well, now you're into, you're into their frequency. Because, but yeah, we all learn how to do this, and for some reason, you know, every time I go to sleep now, I'm moving to other places. We have all these other lives that exist. We have these different homes and stuff. And sometimes when I come out, there's some powerful visions, and it's like, oh, this is just this place, and it doesn't really matter to me. This isn't something I'm part of. And you just move past, you know, this kind of creepy looking thing. And that's right in there with the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you know, when souls come out and they'll see, you know, exaggerated figures and stuff. And it says over and over, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. You know, just keep moving through that bardo, that realm.
And what is that realm? Because I think in some religious text, people talk about, you know, heaven and hell. You know, they talk about this, you know, this God that's very, seems to be very judgmental, you know, and if you do bad on a planet, you know, you're going to go to hell and you're going to be condemned. Can you bring some light to that?
Yeah, if that's what you think is going to happen to you, then, you know, I'm going to have to set him.
Sure.
Come here, buddy.
He was just going to go and take the dog out for a little bit.
I don't want to ruin your audio with his snoring.
Don't worry. I could even hear him.
Oh, you couldn't? Okay,
no,
that's
no,
good.
No.
So, yeah, I think that's, you know, we are part of the creator. We are creators. And if you come out of your body and your religion has told you that you're going to go to hell because you didn't, you know, do what you're supposed to do on Ash Wednesday and you ate meat on Friday, or, you know, if you're carrying those emotions, then that's what's going to happen. It's not forever. It's until you sort out that, oh, I got some really bad information when I was there on Earth. And all I have to do is, you know, make it my intention to leave this place and to not suffer in this. Because it's a real realm. You know, it's a thought realm. The physical world is the dream. And
yeah.
The mental world, it's called mentalism. The mental
right.
world is our reality. And we're here to get control of our thoughts so that we can operate in that thought realm where there is nothing's impossible. But we want to operate in there, you know, painlessly, not affecting others, you know, because we can, you know, we can manifest a monster.
Yeah. That's very
We
true.
Do it all the time. We do it here all the time.
Yeah.
Just watch the news.
Yeah. Very true. I mean, you know, our thoughts can very quickly become our realities, right? And I think this is I guess what we're experienced at the moment, is that some of us who are starting to open our eyes to the truth and understand that, heaven and hell could be in exact same place. If it's living it in your mind, you can create that reality. And I started to see that, a few years ago, and went full steam ahead, in doing this healing work, but not from a fear perspective. I think at first there were some scary times. Like I said, I worked with a shaman, and I've done some plant medicine. And one of the medicines that I worked with, or the very first one that I worked with, is a medicine called Bufo, which is from a toad. Yeah, so you obviously know about that. And the shaman is fantastic. He's, like I said, he's a friend of mine. And the guidance that he got before he started the work with me was almost, I guess, bring him to me, give him the medicine so he can come and have the experience and see who I am. And the reason for that, as I understand it today, when I was going through some really tough times in my life, I was really learning those challenging lessons. And I went through addiction and, mental health, all sorts of different things. And my mind, at times, was in a very lonely, very painful, very suffering, very angry place, angry with everybody. So as I was coming out of that space, obviously the creator said, bring him to me. So he gave me a hero dose. And just before that, we did I'm now qualified to do breath work, but before then I was just beginning my journey. And we did about an hour's worth of breath work, and I was already halfway out of my body anyway. So then he gives me this bufo, and Bill, I left my body quicker than I could even imagine. He gave me three pulls of this thing, and by the time my head hit the pillow, I was out of my body. And like you, exactly as you described, I was just traveling through this realm, and all of a sudden hit this energy and became everything and nothing. Everything and nothing. And the only way, even I wanted to see how you described it. You try to describe it as well as I always try to. I always say it's the purest form of unconditional love you can imagine. But in human language, and I'm sure you would agree with this, it just doesn't do it justice, does it? It doesn't do it justice. And I try to explain it to people, honestly, if and when I'm working with people, because my wife and I have a wellness practice, so we do a lot of healing and we do a lot of this stuff. And I tried to say to people, we had some clients over today, and I was explaining to them, they're an older couple actually, which was incredible. Her daughter come to do some work with us, and then they came and did some work with us today. And I was explaining to them, like, who you truly are as the essence, as the original, is this form of unconditional love. And I said to them, honestly, I feel like I'm not doing it justice. I'm not doing it justice, like, just how incredible you are, but this creator that has been demonized as, this negative and judgmental and, this authoritative figure, that a lot of us have grown really fearful of. And I wanted to ask a question, because you were told that you had a lot of important things to do. Was that shown to you immediately, or did it come later?
No, it was. I just went back to Bill, and I was asked recently, how come you didn't, slip into this depression, and addiction and all this, like a lot of people do. And my answer was that I wasn't taking Bill seriously anymore because I'd seen myself without him. And that is probably the coolest thing you can do for yourself, because you stop reacting to the play, to the movie that we're in. And I was just, what I've done ever since is I've just tried to look out for everybody else around me, because they're reacting, they're just, look around at how far down a person can go with their thoughts about themselves. And it's kind of at a high level these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, was that your question? Did I get to your question?
Yeah. No, I wanted to, because you mentioned, when you were told that you had some really important work to do, I didn't want to miss out on asking what that was, because, since obviously it sounded like, you've obviously opened yourself up. So since then, have things continue to sort of evolve for you? Have you received sort of, messages? Because it sounds like now your work is to share, to share this information. Have you had any sort of revelations, especially as we're kind of going through this time now? What's sort of been delivered or channeled?
Yeah, you said something interesting that you said, bring him to me, bring me him to the medicine. And I think that's what I heard. And, I retired and I was pretty happy retiring at 2010. And, after I came back from my near-death experience, I took up the drums and I got really good at it super fast, and I was in all
Nice.
these bands and we're playing these huge gigs. Nobody could believe it, and it was like, it came from that other side. We are music and color and flow and energy. And I tell people, I go, it's just really easy. I don't. But so I was playing in a bunch of bands, and we're playing these big gigs and riding bikes and running the dogs on trails, and I was a happy retiree. And then this Rick Straussman's book, the video showed up, and I've never watched any drug movies ever. As a fire captain, this is like a police officer. It's not your world. If all you've seen is, horrendous things from hallucinogenics and opiates and all that meth. So yeah, I just shunned it, but for some reason I played the video and it was interesting, and Rick Straussman had some kind of draw to him. And then this thing came showed up on Amazon saying you should order this book, and it's like, well, I just watched this movie, and but I ordered it, and it was called DMT, the Spirit Molecule. You're probably aware of it. And when I got to chapter 13 and 14 is contact through the veil, I think it's called, or beyond the veil. And his volunteers who he was injecting with DMT, pure DMT, at a certain dose, they were rocketed out of their body. And they found themselves in a facility with three little giggling guys with hoods, short little guys, and then another guy that was seemingly in charge would show up. And one after another, I'm looking at these accounts and I'm like, holy crap, this is my story. And it just shocked me. I walked around for a week going, nobody understands how phenomenal this book is, because, there is a doorway, and any living thing with the release of DMT, which happens naturally in our pineal gland during death, anybody can go there. And I'm not advocating running out and doing DMT. But if you did, it's guaranteed you would possibly find yourself in this clinic setting with these orderlies, that are very playful and very joyful and very strange looking. And that's just a shocker. So I fought it for about another year, 2012. We're getting to that date where the planet is waking up, December of 2012. And I found myself in 2012, I found myself down in Central America, Costa Rica mostly. I was on the paved roads, then I was on the dirt roads, then I was on the trails, and I was with the shamans, and I was with people that followed the Red Road, the Native American traditions. And there's a lot of silence, and the way you eat and the way you structure water. And So I kept going. I almost lost everything. Everyone was mad at me because I would go down there for 2 or 3 months at a time and just disappear into these, settings. And did ayahuasca a handful of times. Ridiculously powerful situation
I've sat with the medicine too.
that I didn't know what I was doing. I thought it was, physical world Bill was like, this is folklore. This can't be possible. So you're not going to get harmed. So I was in a yahe ceremony with Taita Juanito, and he gave me this big glass of thick ayahuasca yahe, and I'm like, oh, this ain't nothing. And I drank it down, arrogant human, and everything went crazy in an hour, because like we talked about in the beginning, we are these, we believe we're this physical being and we've got control of everything, but there's really is the soul and then a higher self, and it continues this incredible expansion. And during those ceremonies, I was bouncing between those perspectives, and I could see Bill for all his flaws, and I could see the joy and sweetness of that infinite realm. And there's a lot that can happen with that medicine. And I continued to, I did ayahuasca a handful of times, and then I continued to go down there, and I was just, paying attention to the silence and the way these international hippies behaved. They're barefoot on the ground, and a lot of reverence towards running water, and all these very unusual things. And something opened. All of a sudden, I started seeing this energy going up the. They have a hall that they meditate in, but this blue light would go up and come back down, and it was on like a 5 second repeat. And I'm like, going, what is going on? This is, does anybody else see this? You're supposed to be quiet, but I was, and it kept opening to where I started seeing auras around people, magnificent colors, which, denoted their emotions at that time, their emotional state. And then there was in this one thing where we're eye gazing, we're looking, in another person's eyes, in low light. And all of a sudden, the people I was looking at, their faces started to change. And it was like w looking at the pages of a book, being turned every couple of seconds. There was a completely different person there. And this wasn't a picture. This was a animated being that was looking back at me and laughing or smiling or somewhat solemn. And once in a while, there you'd see one that was kind of pissed. And I realized, and I did this with several people who did this eye gazing thing, and I realized that that is, you're looking at the past lives that are, etched on the soul of that person. We all have these thousands of past personalities. And that, that movie Sybil, where this woman has all these personalities that keep coming forward, complete personalities, complete change. And she, what that movie is telling us is that she did not have control of. Complete control of, that soul that has all those personalities that are there, all the information of who they were. And there's lots of stories that go with that. But it was that at that point, we slept outside, and I was on my mat, and I was looking up at the stars, and I was like, okay, I get it. Speaking to the divine realm. I understand this, this is huge. And if whatever you want from me, my schedule is open. I'm available. I, from the rest of my life, I work for you guys. And then this whole Kundalini thing happened with this energy that came through me, and it's really unbelievable and impossible. But you know, that is a real thing. When, first of all, when we seek, we genuinely go and look, you know, what is this place about? And then when we turn it over to the other side and say, okay, I'm yours, I get it, I work for you. And then this, anyway, it's called Kundalini, and it's this whole thing with the energy that we all have at the base of our spine. It uncoils, it comes up, and you know, all the emotional baggage that we carry is purged, and then it reaches the top. You've seen these pictures with the light coming out of the head, and absolutely true. I mean, it's that powerful. And
And
then you live.
this happened to you.
Yeah, it happened to me, and it was you know, it's been almost 10 years. It's a slow process, so you don't get, you know, cooked, because it is powerful energy coming through you, and it's almost like you're disabled, you know. This you know, your skin is burning, and your temperature is out of control, and then you sort of, you know, recalibrate yourself for some days or weeks, and then it comes again. And now it's abated, because it's the connection, I think, is completely clear, and you're in this sort of heaven on earth existence. Nothing bothers you, and you know, you're still a human. But if I go and sit in one of those recliners and just let go, you peel away into those other realms of light, and you know, there's beings there, and they're around all of us, our ancestors, thousands of them. They're watching all of us all the time, and it's hard to believe,
The
but
thing is,
it's true.
it is very true. And for some, including myself, it was something that was really hard to believe that, there were spirits out there, and there were people that would guide us, and that we could receive, this information and these downloads, and you could exchange energy with somebody who was just sat across the way from you, and I didn't believe any of it until I've had these experiences, and all of a sudden now it's just like, okay, cool, I got it, I understand what you need me to do, and let's just go with it. I'm not even going to question it. Today, for example, as you can tell, it's evening here in the UK, and we had some shopping delivered. And at the moment, I'm not fully mobile. I had a spinal operation in September last year, and
Oh.
it left me paralyzed from the waist down. So I had to learn to walk again. But because I have this connection and I have this incredible belief that, my body is recovered and I'm going to walk again 110%. I'll be stronger than I've ever been before. There is nothing anyone can tell me. So today, this gentleman turns up, brings up the shopping, in a basket, and he says, "Oh, do you want some help?" I said, "Oh, that would be amazing." So I managed to push one of the boxes into the kitchen, and then he comes in with two of them, and he just comes into the house, and I kind of show him where to go. Yeah, I just said, "Look, unpack it over there and I can put it all in the fridge afterwards." So he asked me what happened with me. I explained. And I was like, "Oh, thank God, this is something which is temporary." And he literally just looked up to me and he said, "Yeah, you're right. Thank God." I said, "God is incredible." And he said to me, "Do you believe?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely, I believe." I said, "Of course I believe. I know who I am. I am the creator, just in a different
Right.
version. So of course I believe." But I didn't sort of say that to him, because you never know how much people understand, especially in religion as well. Sometimes some people can really get taken back by something like that, because again, you get told that God is this almighty, and how dare you think that you are it. And bless him, he turned around and said to me, he goes, "I'll pray for you tonight." I was like, "Oh, thank you so much. That's really beautiful." And he just looked at me and he says, "Do you mind if I pray with you now, Bill?" A few years ago, I would have said to him, "No, thanks. It's not for me." save your prayers. I really appreciate it, but it's not for me. As soon as he said that, I went, let's do it. And I just stood there. I was holding on to my crutch. And I was just kind of like stood there against the counter, just closed my eyes. And he did a prayer, and he did this beautiful prayer, you know, just to you know, have me completely healed and, you know, mobile, so on and so forth. And it was such a beautiful experience that I would never have expected it. Never expected an exchange with, and especially with another man, as you said as well, you know, 28 years ago, having these kind of conversations amongst men was an absolute no-no, absolute no-no. Whereas now we're seeing more and more, especially men are now seeking this because, you know, we're seeing this big shift, especially as we're seeing it in America. We are seeing it here in the UK as well, where they're confusing genders and, you know, they're trying to, you know, make men into women and men playing in women's sport and all sorts of crazy things that, you know, if somebody wants to believe whatever they want to believe in closed doors, I say, listen, knock yourself out, you know. But I think when it starts to sort of affect men and women, and what I mean by that, and I'll explain it very clearly, God created us as creators. You know, a woman cannot birth another child without the man. We've been given these powerful, these beautiful, beautiful gifts, the most powerful gifts that we have. We are the creator because we create life. The creator creates us, and we thus then create more life. And, you know, if you don't believe anything, just think about that. If you're listening right now and you're going, you know what, I'm not quite sold on the idea yet. Really sit, go within and understand how powerful you are as a man and as a woman. Just the fact that you combined can create life. And today, that's being torn apart. That's being torn to pieces, you know, in this belief that, you know, we're better off on our own. And there is no human being on a planet that will ever be better off on their own, you know. And we see it, you know, with mental health and addiction and suicide, and, you know, when we're seeing it now with the younger generation, and, you know, with the experiences that you've been through, Bill, as we are now in current times, what is your advice with the things that you've learned and the things that you've experienced? And even with, you know, it sounds like you've gone down that shamanic route and you've done other things and you've had this Kundalini awakening. What are the things that you can now bring as a message, especially for younger people? You know, we're very lucky that we get an array of people that listen, but generally because of the expertise around mental health and addiction, a lot of people want to listen to real people that have real stories and real solutions. What are the things that you can share that can really shine a light to some of these people and really give them hope? Because as you said, this experience can suck sometimes.
Things get, you know, we're at the a low energy point in the cycle. You know, this endless cycle that has gone on forever in this earth realm, and things can look pretty bad, but it's still all a divine creation. That's a created by God, the creator. And it was, you know, our experience here is, it's not about changing this place or reacting to it or saving the world or fixing it. We came here to fix ourselves. And by not reacting, you know, it's going to get a lot worse. And, you know, I live in California, and the states is going to fall apart. And California is probably the first one that's on the list.
It sounds like it.
And it's all kind of, you know, pre-scripted. You know, we're in a movie, a play. Mm-hmm. It's like an amusement park. Nobody gets hurt. There's no permanent damage. We go home and just watch these NDE people. As they leave their body, they're like, you know, they don't have any attachment to the container that they were in. Mm-hmm. There's no emotion. And it's like, oh, well, that was fun. And regardless of how it appears to us, carnage and all this stuff, nobody's really harmed, and there is no lasting pain, regardless of how bad it gets. And that story, it's in a lot of people. Once they realize what they're looking at, it's in popular culture. It's in books and movies and TV shows and song lyrics. And just as an example, a couple of these is, my near-death experience is The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy is in this drab place, black and white, mean-ass people trying to hurt her dog. And then the twister comes, that spinning vortex, and she goes up in the farmhouse, and the window comes off and hits her in the head, and she falls on the bed, and she's, you see this kind of lighter version of her peel away, and she's now in a near-death experience. And then the farmhouse lands in Oz, and the door opens, and everything's color and music and water flowing, and this heavenly realm. And then there's these munchkins, and they come towards her. They're very joyful and playful and giggling, and they come in threes. And that's what I saw. That's what Straussman's volunteers see. It's always three little joyful guys. And then along comes Glinda. And Glinda comes, and she's a good witch, supposedly, but she arrives in a colorful orb, this beautiful colors of divine love. And then she acts very sweetly with Dorothy. She interacts with her. This is, Glinda is Dorothy's higher self, smiling, chuckling guy I met. And Dorothy, the name Dorothy means gift from God, which means this earthly body is a gift. Our experiences, as gnarly as they are in these times, is still a gift. And it's a fun experience that we're having. And then Dorothy, Glinda's very cool with her, and she gets her on her journey home, the hero's journey. And she goes through all these trials and tribulations, and Glinda's always watching over her. And when the witch gets too crazy, she steps in, and she's got these three companions, a straw man looking for a brain, and a tin man looking for a heart, and a lion looking for courage. And what I get from that, we talked about it all the earlier, is when we get control of our thoughts, of our brain, and we choose that divine right creator brain, and we reconnect with our home, and we start making our decisions from the intelligence of the heart, the tin man, and we proceed without fear, with courage, then we get to go home. And there's no place like home.
It's so true.
And I was talking to Alex Ferrari, and he goes, and you know what? Dorothy always had it within her to go home. She always had the ruby slippers, and she could always go home anytime. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. And so, yeah, these stories are everywhere, and they've been around forever. You can go back and when I look in the blue sky, I see swirling purple and green, and like the Aurora Borealis, and that comes from one of those paintings, Van Gogh. Starry Night. He's got those swirls. The modern entertainment, whatever age you're in, there is answers to what we are when you're ready to see it. And it's absolutely true. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's
That was that was
And that movie Groundhog Day, this is the most spiritual movie out there. Bill Murray's kind of an a-hole, and he's stuck in that town. And each day that he has to live is a new life. And slowly over time, he starts spending his days being kind and being considerate and compassionate and loving towards other beings. And he does it long enough and he gets to leave, the town. And that's absolutely what that movie's really about.
And it's no different from our day to day, right? Because we only get now. There is no tomorrow. When we wake up, it's not the next day. Next day never exists. You only wake up, there's only the present moment. And we've kind of believed this illusion. Oh, I can do it. I'll do it tomorrow. And even I'm guilty of doing that. There is some work I need to do. I write it down. I've got a board in front of me. Some things I write and I keep looking at the board. I'm like, oh, I need to do that. And I go, yeah, but I can do that tomorrow. I can do the other bits first. But tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. It does not exist. We have this illusion that, we get another day, and but we do get older, and time goes by because we have this sort of very, it's a blink of an eye experience. But what are two movies that I never thought about it, and two great movies, two of like real old favorite movies. I used to love Groundhog Day. I watched it so many times, and I've never thought about it in that way. And you've literally just a penny drop moment now. I just thought to myself, oh my God, you are so right. It is literally your life experience. And if you think about it from this perspective, and just to kind of add to what Bill said, think about it from this experience. When you have moments in life that keep repeating themselves to you, this is your higher self. This is your guides. These are the those around you trying to give you that message. Hey, stupid, look at this. Stop behaving in this way. Otherwise, this is going to keep repeating itself. It's exactly the same thing, right? And honestly, that's just completely blown me away, because it's such a perfect way to sort of explain it. And The Wizard of Oz one, it's just perfect. I love that.
That in the Groundhog Day, every morning he wakes up to the same song. It says, "I got you, babe." And that means that the soul, the higher self, has us. And we're going to repeat our lessons until we get it right, like you said. And then we get to go home. Pretty cool.
Oh man, it's amazing. Honestly, it's absolutely incredible. And I guess just for us to sort of, wrap things up, so far in your experience, what has been sort of your, because one of the things I love about life is knowledge sharing. That's what we're here to do. That's why we met today. That's why we're doing this. I truly believe the more we share knowledge, the quicker we evolve. A lot of people, and I was one of these people, that I always ask, what's the purpose to life? Because it sucks, especially when I was in the dark and I was struggling, and there were times when I would consider, and then there were times when I took the actions to try and commit suicide, and every time it didn't work, I saw myself as a failure, and I blamed God. Why the fuck am I here? I just want to go home. I didn't want to be here. I didn't understand the purpose to this. Today, I'm like, I know I have very limited time, so please give me some more, because I love life. There is nothing on the planet that can take me away from here. And I think if anything, I'm going to go kicking and screaming, because as Bill has just described, the Groundhog Day, Wizard of Oz, perfect explanations of, the reason why we experience certain things. And Bill, in your time up until now, what's been the clearest message for why we're here?
Well, we're here to learn, the best way to learn is by experience. Experience is the best teacher, and so that's why we experience these many, many lives. And what we're supposed to learn is exactly what you and I have been saying, is that, you know, we are these greater beings. It doesn't begin and end with the current personality that we're pretending to be. We're supposed to, you know, it's kind of a game that we're playing, and we're supposed to wake up in the game and realize that, yes, we have a wonderful life and it's a wonderful gift, but it's not who we really are. We're supposed to realize who we really are. And then, you know, when this life is over, you know, you can step through that valley of the shadow of death, and by your vibration, it doesn't affect you. And you get to move home, you know, this move through this lower astral, and you get to go to this middle astral, this place, you know, where there's a lot of learning that goes on. And then there's the higher astral, you know, this heavenly realm. And that was my near death experience. I got kind of a whirlwind tour of all four. And if you watch the movie, if your group watches the movie Astral City, it came out of Brazil. A famous medium, his name was Chico Xavier.
Yes.
He's like a very popular, very beloved citizen of Brazil. And he channeled this story of this soul that was a doctor here on Earth. And, you know, he went through that hellish realm until he could figure out that it was just up to him with his thoughts to move on. And then he ends up at that middle astral, that place where there is a rehab facility where souls are, you know, in beds, and they're healing emotional trauma. This is what I think, where I think I was. And eventually we all move on to that divine realm of where nothing's impossible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm using these words, heavenly and divine and hell and stuff, but there's religion aside, you know, religion is just sort of hijacked the story of what we really are and added a bunch of shame and guilt and all that stuff, which holds us here. But, you know, those realms exist. I've been there. And that movie talks about them exactly. It's called Astral City. And
it's very interesting. I have that book. My auntie, who's a spiritualist, she loves all of this stuff. She gave me that book when I was probably about 18 years old. So yeah, 25, 26 years ago, she gave me that book in Portuguese, and I still have it somewhere. I think it's on the shelf. So as soon as you mentioned it, I was like, oh my God, I've got that book on my shelf. And I'm definitely going to try and find this movie, because I didn't know it was a movie. So I'm definitely going to look into that. Bill, any final words from you to the people who are listening as we're in 2024 right now, and as we're, you know, continue to sort of move forward? What can you say? What kind of words of wisdom can you sort of impart in people to give them that courage and, you know, and that knowledge that things are going to be okay, that we have victory, you know, in this journey?
Yeah, it's kind of a ride. We're kind of on a roller coaster, and, you know, we've just come down, 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 and now we hit the bottom and we're starting to climb. And, you know, the light is coming back into the planet, and slowly, and, you know, yourself and people that listen to things like this, they are those lights. And, you know, if this stuff resonates with you, then it's, you know, you're being called not to do anything more than to just let that light shine through you while you're here. And yeah, we're all in for a good ride here, but nobody's going to get hurt. No lasting damage.
No,
We still exist, you know. When I had my near-death experience, I was still me. I wasn't Bill Letson, and I didn't want to return to my family. I love my family, I adore them, but I was still me. It was almost a seamless transition out of this place, and we still exist. We always exist. We never end.
No, that is very true. That is very true. Things do go on, and we continue to shine and share sort of unconditional love. One of the things that I'd love to sort of add, and maybe even just kind of get your take on it as well. What could people do? And I know, we're here to sort of enjoy the journey, but for those that don't know what to do on a day-to-day basis, what sort of action steps can people do to help them to reconnect, to help them to maybe understand who they are a little bit? What sort of things can they engage with? Obviously, I'm sure you're not going to recommend go have a near-death experience, but are there other things in which people can engage in that will allow them to start to also raise their vibration and, connect with themselves?
Yeah, we're told all these things about the sun, and if you read some of these ancient texts, the sun is considered a doorway. It's a portal home, and we're full of light. We are light energy. It comes by every day, and it fills the place with light and plants, and showers us with love and higher vibrations, and it disappears, and we go through the dark for the night, and we can't wait for the sun to come back, because that is our home. We all go to the light, be the light. Well, the greatest light you're ever going to see is up right up in the sky. And so what I do is I structure water. You can Google that. But I leave it in the sun, and I give it a few stirs. And when you structure water and give it some love, the whole thing with Emoto and his work, and the work of Vida Austin, what she does is she puts a she does this thing where she, loves up the water, gets the water and gives it some love, and then puts it in their freezer for like 5 minutes or something like that in a shallow little petri dish. And you can actually see that you are a creator by the emotions that you put into that water, and then freeze it in time. And you can, her, you just watch her videos, it'll blow you away. That, so yeah, water is very special, the sun's very special. Our magnetic Mother Earth is wants us to walk on her with bare feet and to look to the sun and to eat those fresh green, fruits and vegetables and nuts, all the stuff that comes naturally, that our food is processed, and it's processing the life out of it that we're supposed to be filling ourselves with. So yeah, that'll raise your vibration. And then there's a lot of videos that sites that have just come out in the last 2 months. And one of them is called Wise Quotes. And another one is Anything by Dolores Cannon.
Oh, yes.
This is, her thing with quantum, this whole thing with hypnotic state. If you sit quietly and you go deep enough, you'll go into that hypnotic state. What you experience with the Bofu, and what you can get from ayahuasca, you don't have to you don't have to take these things.
No.
You can get there by just letting filling yourself with light and getting in nature and emptying your negative thoughts, and you can disappear into that dream world, that world of thoughts that we come from, and then you'll realize who you really are. Maybe that'll help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, thank you so much. Honestly,
Thank you, Alex.
I'm so grateful to have met you, to have spent this time with you. And I hope we can do this again. You know, I hope we can sort of continue knowledge sharing. And if anything comes up and you know you want to share, please do let me know, because I would love to, you know, to have you back on and continue to sort of learn from you, you know, to learn your experience. You've got such an amazing energy. So truly, thank you.
You know what? I want to send that right back to you. You've got this energy, you've got this passion, you've got this authentic thing going with you, and you have a lot to share. You have a lot of people that you'll help. You're doing wonderful work. You're part of the light, and this is the age of heroes, and you're one of them, dude.
Ah, oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And listen, I think like you know, I just want people to enjoy life. I think when you get given, because I think so many of us walk in the dark, and you know, when you start to see the light and you get that hope and you start to kind of run towards it and you see it for what it really is, it's almost like you just want to shake people, you know, for them to see it. Unfortunately, you can't do that in this planet because someone will punch you in the face. But I try to use this platform, which is a lot safer. So hopefully, you know, give people that happiness and, you know, and that love, because one of the things I've realized is how gifted we are, but also how filled with love, you know, we are. And you touched on something about the brain and the heart. I was talking to these clients that were here today, and I said to them, you know, the brain is this incredible, endless, vast machine that in this human form, we don't quite understand it. When we go into the plant medicine, you know, when we journey, we can start to get glimpse of its capability. But in this dense human form, it's here to do one thing: store information and keep us alive. That's pretty much what it's there to do. But the big work is when you connect, as you said, the right side of the brain, the creator side, that shines the light and the heart. And that's what you talk about, love and light, you know, and the more and more people that can connect with that, the more and more you start to see that being a miracle, being a creator, is not given to, or being the light, it's not given to special people. We are it, every single one of us. And that's one of the things I've discovered. You know, my mission is, you know, if I'm going to continue screaming this to the world, is this is what we are. We are all a light. You know, there's no one more special than us. We are all exactly the same, because we all come from the one creator.
Yeah, that's cool. And that breath work stuff for your audience, that's for real. When you go into that breath work and you go for it with the breathing and you do that hour and a half, you can get there. You absolutely get there. And I heard recently that there's a DMT release when you do it right. And that used to be, that was a shamanic secret. And now it's, forever, it was kept secret, but now it's common. People can do these things and experience those higher realms. Absolutely.
And this is it. Look, you know, the secrets to life is within you. The most powerful thing that you have, I call it, you know, you are your own medicine cabinet. You know, and when I teach people breath work, I say to them, it's in your breath. It's, you know, that's the creator itself. They call it, you know, Yahweh. When you breathe in, Yah. When you breathe out, way, that is the creator itself. You know, you take your first breath when you're born. You take the last breath when you go home, and you know we're breathing gods. We just don't know it. You know, a lot of us don't even know it. It's incredible. It truly, truly is.
Oh, that's for real.
And I say to people, when people try to get me to explain what breath work is, I was like, listen, I'm not going to even explain it. Let me show it to you. As you said, do the hour. Just come and do an hour. Let me show you what it's all about. And then we'll take it from there. And I've not
And
had.
And be that warrior spirit that's trying to come out. Go for it
Yes.
with the breath.
Yes.
Don't wimp out when things start getting a little shaky, because they're supposed to get shaky.
Yes. Yeah. But do you know what's really interesting? And you mentioned about the layers. The same thing happens in breath work as well. You know, because and I explain it to people and oh God, honestly, I love this conversation because everything that we're talking about here really ties in together. And through breath work, the first 10, 15 minutes is when you're going through, as you talked about, that sort of waiting area of the spirit realm that gets a bit dark, feels a bit strange. But if you push through that, that's I
Right.
often say to people, that's when you go into the fear, into the ego, you know, you're just trying to push through that. Push through that part, you start to then go into the next level of consciousness. Then you go into the next one. And if you break through that and you let go, world your oyster.
Yeah, you go into this like inner sky or something, and I was seeing all these balls of light coming down, and I'm like, oh my goodness, these are my ancestors. They were full of love. That's a real thing you can do. You don't need
Yeah.
anything special. It's a huge secret,
It
the
is.
breath work.
Yeah, it really is. And what a beautiful thing as well that gets coming out now. You know, there are more and more people talking about it. And, you know, hopefully, and, you know, this is something that continues to evolve because, you know, it will help humanity to go to the next level, you know.
Yeah.
And not just from a spiritual experience, by the way. You know, we've been so blessed to have worked with people. My wife's a psychotherapist. I do the breath work and coaching. And we've worked with some of her colleagues who are incredibly respected in their field. And one person in particular who we worked with, we did a few hour session with her. She came out the other side, and the first thing she did when she came back into her body, she went, excuse the language, she went, fuck me, that was 10 years worth of therapy in 4 hours. And we laughed, and I said to her, do you see the power of using a breath, you know? And it's yeah, people don't realize, you know,
Yeah.
everything you need stares at you in the face every day.
Right. Good
Yeah.
job, man.
Yeah. Listen, guys, thank you as always. I hope you guys enjoyed. Bill, where can people find you? If people want to reach out to you and they want to connect, what's the best way?
I have a email. It's bletson56@gmail, and that's where I am. And I got something on YouTube. There's a playlist of some of these movie things we've been talking about, of YouTube videos. And so I'm on YouTube, Bill Letson.
Well, that's some amazing stuff. Bill, once again, thank you so much. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you share, comment, you know, and really get this message out there. How powerful was this today? I hope that you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you on the next one. Take care.
Take care, bro.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to find out more about how you can overcome issues caused by mental health, go to alexdesilva.co.uk. That's www.alexdesilva.co.uk. See you on the next one. Be great, be fantastic, and be absolutely phenomenal. Take care.